Navajo Trail, Doc, it's the story of the Princess and the Sea.
Once upon a time, there was a magical kingdom far beyond the Navajo Trail. It was ruled over by a gracious king and queen. We find them now in the spacious hall of their copper castle, talking with their handsome son, Prince Anthony.
What are you going to do about getting married?
Well, Father, I'll tell you.
Enter. Begging your pardon, Prince Tony, but your horse is asking for you.
Oh, well, in a moment, Michael. I'll tell the groom to go. And you give my horse my regards and say I'll be out in a minute.
Oh, yes, Your Highness. I'll tell him.
Tony, what do you intend to do?
Oh, what a persistent father you are, Your Majesty. All right, I'll tell you. I'll journey to some of these kingdoms. I'll ask for audience with the marriageable daughters. And I'll try my best to find a wife that will be a real princess and a real sweetheart to me. Does that suit you?
I think that's fine, Tony.
You would. Very well. I consider that your solemn promise, Prince Anthony. I shall arrange for your journey immediately and send my pages to announce your coming. Tomorrow, be ready to leave.
I shall be ready. Oh, Michael be telling me my horse is calling me names. I'd better go for my ride. See you at lunch, Mother.
Goodbye, Tony.
Is everything ready, Moon?
Yes, Princess Zoe.
Make sure now. I don't want anything to go wrong. Prince Anthony is very particular, I hear, and I don't want a single slip-up or mistake.
No, Princess. The flowers, the seeds,
the cake,
buttered scones, all nice and hot. Everything is ready.
Good. Do I look all right? Is my dress becoming?
Oh, yes, Princess. It's the prettiest I ever saw you wear. You are just lovely.
Oh, dear, I'm nervous. Oh, I hope I don't show it. Enter.
Your Highness.
Well, William?
Prince Anthony of Garnordia has arrived and begs the honor of an interview.
Show Prince Anthony in here immediately.
Yes, Your Highness.
Am I all right? Does my nose shine?
No.
Is my hair... Give me my mirror.
Here you are.
Oh, dear, I'm so nervous.
His Highness, Prince Anthony.
Then never mind the mirror. Enter. Prince Anthony.
Princess Lillian. It's kind of you to see me.
Prince Anthony, you are welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jan.
Sit here, won't you?
Oh, thanks.
You'll have tea?
Mimi, the tea.
Yes, Your Highness. Was your journey pleasant?
Very pleasant, thank you. The countryside is beautiful right now.
Oh, isn't it? Cream or lemon?
A lemon, please.
Hear me, Your Highness. Yes, Your Highness.
Oh, it doesn't matter at all, Princess.
But it does matter.
Well,
you spilled hot tea all over His Highness, you stupid fool.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I'm so terribly sorry, Your Highness.
And what good does that do? Perhaps that will teach you to be careful. Now get out.
Oh, Your Highness, may I serve Prince Anthony?
Get out. Go to the housekeeper, get the feed due you, and don't let me ever see you again.
You're quite emotional, aren't you, Princess? After all, mistakes are bound to happen.
Well, of course, but to spill hot tea on you, you're sure it didn't burn you?
Oh, no. No, I'm very glad it happened.
What? Glad you were hurt?
Yes. Better be burned now than later. May I have a cake, Princess?
A cake? Oh, yes, by all means.
Thank you. Lovely weather we're having.
Glory be, Prince Tony, but it's a grand morning for a ride. You and the Princess Anne couldn't have chosen a more beautiful day.
Indeed it is, Michael. Do you like this province as well as the one of Princess Lillian?
It's all very well, Prince. Sure, the Princess Anne, she's a grand girl. I hope she doesn't have a temper like the other one. Prince Tony, do you think you could, if she hasn't, you could...
I think I could give you a rap on your nose if you don't keep it out of other people's business.
Oh, yes, Your Highness. That's what I mean. Yes, yes.
Well, there you are, Princess Anne. Come, Michael, let's join her. Well, good morning, Princess. Glorious day, isn't it?
Oh, indeed it is. I shall enjoy a ride in this air.
You're very punctual. Are you ready to start?
Not quite, Prince. I've forgotten all my jewels. I sent the servant for them. Imagine. When I would look my very best, I shall feel precious. Oh, here you are, Fletcher.
Yes, Princess Anne.
Did you bring my bracelet? The ruby one?
Yes, Princess.
Oh, yes. And my pearl?
Certainly.
Yes. And my crystal eardrop?
They are.
Yes, they're all here. Hold the mirror higher, Fletcher.
Yes.
The earring. Woman's vanity, isn't it? My necklace?
What?
One moment now. There. Now, Prince Anthony, I'm quite ready.
Indeed you are, Your Highness, for almost anything. Michael, what's wrong with you?
Oh, pardon, Your Highness. I get a tickling in me nose.
That nose will get you into trouble, yes. Assist her, Highness.
Yes, sire.
All ready. Come, beauty.
Right close, Michael. From here, it doesn't look as if we had an experienced rider.
Coming, Prince.
Yes, I'll be right with you.
But something tells me it won't be for long.
Yeah, sure it is. Well, sorry. I wonder what happened, though. Hey, Crash, do you know the ending?
Why, sure do, Tommy, but that's neither here nor there.
Just what do you mean by neither here nor there?
Well, you're not going to find out about it here, and seeing as how you're not there... But chances are you're just going to have to wait like the rest of the pretenders in our round-the-world audience.
Well, the wait won't be too long, because we still have a long way to go and not too much time to get there. So Uncle Bill and the pretenders will please begin. We'll hear what's cooking in Act Two.
Young Prince Anthony started out in search of a princess he could fall in love with and marry. With Michael, his faithful servant, he first met a princess with an uncontrollable temper. The next one had very poor taste in her ideas of proper dress. Now we find him about to meet a third princess.
The Princess Natalie will be with you in just a moment, Your Highness.
Thank you.
She asks that you make yourself comfortable, and I am to bring you refreshments. If you will permit me, I shall get them for you.
First time I ever heard a stuffed shirt talk.
Oh, quiet, Michael. And now listen to me. After my other experiences, I'm not too hopeful about this one.
Well, I couldn't say that I blame you, sir.
I want you to wait just outside in the hall, within calling distance, mind you. And if I call, don't let anything or anybody stop you from coming in.
I'd like to see them try it.
All right. Here comes the soft shirt.
He's in the drawing room, Your Highness.
Well, I can't leave you, Sergeant Hans. I'll be in the drawing room, and I'm not known to anyone else. Remember.
Her Highness, the Princess Natalie.
Ah, how do you do, Prince Anthony? I'm delighted that you decided to pay us a visit. Well,
thank you.
Do sit down. My goodness, I think I would have known you anywhere.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Only you're much better looking than I imagined.
Oh, you're very kind, Princess.
Oh, yes, you are. And there's no need to be so modest about it.
Well,
now, you know very well they call you the most handsome prince in all the land.
Oh, no.
And I knew the moment I set eyes on you that it was perfectly true.
Well, really, Princess.
You know, as a rule, I never did care for handsome men. But, of course, there are always exceptions. And I'm sure you're an outstanding one.
Oh, but, Princess, you
really... Yes. Last year we had a caller, Prince, I shan't mention any names, of course, but I declare I never saw such a person.
Uh-huh.
He was handsome in a way, but oh, so dull. Well, really, I just couldn't get one response from him. Have you finished your wine? Oh, no, you haven't.
Well,
as I was saying, this prince, he couldn't dance, and if there's one thing I simply adore to do, it's dance. Don't you?
Yes,
of course you do. And I'm sure you're a perfectly gorgeous dancer.
Well, Princess Natalie,
now, don't deny it. Well, as I was saying, this prince who visited us, he wouldn't dance, didn't care for music. I'll wager you do, though, don't you?
Well, yes,
Of course you do. He did ride a little. Oh, that reminds me. I noticed your horses, the groom took him away. Simply gorgeous.
Yes,
we must ride together during your visit. Well, anyway, as I was saying, the only thing he seemed to enjoy was a game of cribbage with my father. My father's a quiet man, doesn't talk much.
I can understand that.
Ah! Aren't you delicious? I'm sure we're going to have a gorgeous time while you're here.
I must arrange
a whole series of parties. I simply adore them.
Well, Princess,
whole crowds of gay people. There can't be too many for me. Don't you just love them?
Well, personally,
I'm sure you do, and I know they'll adore you. I'm sure they couldn't help it. I don't know when I've met anyone with such a gorgeous personality.
As if you didn't know. Michael.
What's the matter, Prince Anthony?
I can't take it. Michael.
Get
you can't go in there.
Yes, Prince Tony.
Do you feel faint?
I can't feel anything. I need air. Get me out, Mike. Excuse me, Princess Natalie.
What did you say, Prince?
He says he needs air, and to excuse him, Princess Natalie.
My name is not Natalie.
That's what you think. Come along, Prince.
What a terrible night.
Lightning struck very close to us, I imagine.
I'll close the curtains, Mother. It'll be cozy.
No, it's good to have you back again, Tony, even if you haven't found a wife. Who on earth could that be at this time of night?
Well, this storm.
Oh, I'll go, Mother.
Please forgive my disturbing you at so late an hour.
Not at all. Come in, little lady.
My dear child, come over to the fire. Your dress is wringing wet.
Here, my dear, sit here. Ah, that's better.
Oh, you must be frozen.
I am almost. You're very kind. And this fire does feel good. Oh, dear, I hardly expect you to credit my statement. But I'm Princess Rosalie.
Princess Rosalie?
Of course, my dear girl. What happened to you?
I was riding through the forest when the storm came up, and the lightning struck a tree very close to me. My horse became frightened and bolted. I could have stopped him, but the cinch of my saddle broke, so I took a tumble. Fortunately, I fell on the leaves. Then I started to walk, and forgive me, but here I am.
Poor child. Tony, ring for some hot milk for the princess and send for the court physician.
Oh, no, please don't. I'm quite all right, aside from being cold and wet.
Yes, Your Majesty.
A glass of hot milk, please.
Yes, Your Highness.
Now I'll stir up this fire.
Make yourself comfortable, princess. I shall see that your room is made ready for you and get you into some dry clothes. Of course, you'll remain with us overnight. Tony, I'll need Michael.
All right.
I'm terribly sorry to put you to so much trouble.
Nonsense. We welcome you here. You know, it isn't every storm that brings us such a charming visitor.
Oh, it's such a disheveled one, either.
The hot milk, Your Highness. And, Sarah, prepare the blue and silver suite and send Margaret there, please.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Husband, I feel certain that Prince Anthony can entertain our guests. Will you come with me?
Uh-huh. Well, what's that?
I'm sure Anthony and the princess will excuse us.
Yes. Well, perhaps they will. In fact, I don't think they'll even miss it.
Michael. Oh, Michael.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Did you get the pot of peas as I told you?
Oh, I did that. Though why I'm chasing all over the castle looking for a pod of peas, I'll never know.
Well, I know. And if my plan succeeds, as I think it will, the whole castle will have news soon.
Yes, ma'am. And if the plans are for keeping me from following dizzy young ladies all over the country, I'm for it 100%.
All right. Now, place the peas, just one of them, on the bed. That's it.
Well, that's about where her shoulders would come to, ain't it, Your Majesty?
Just about. Now, how many mattresses have you brought?
What you told me to. 20, no less. What should I do with them?
Put them on the bed.
Well, all 20 of them?
All 20. One on top of the other.
Oh, she'll be after needing a stepladder to climb in.
Oh, my God.
I'll be needing one myself for the next fight.
Don't talk so much and work faster. We'll soon know if this is a real princess.
Hope I live to tell the tale. I'm so high up right now, you look like a little girl, you might
be. Michael.
From up here, you look like a baby.
Oh, don't fall, you idiot.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so high, I'm sniffing mountain breezes. I should have brought me ski suit and me earmuffs.
When you have them all on, come to the library and tell me. Now remember, Tony, and you too, husband, we must urge her to say how she slept.
All right, Mother, but is it so important? She looks lovely to me, whether she...
Here she comes.
Your Majesty, the princess is here.
Good morning, Princess Rosalie. Do join us.
Good morning.
Will you sit here, princess? Breakfast is waiting.
Oh, I do hope I'm not late.
Of course not. Did you rest well, my dear?
Yes, princess. Was your bed comfortable?
Why... Oh, yes, I... Of course I slept well.
Oh, you didn't. Was anything wrong?
Please speak frankly, my dear. Our guest must be comfortable.
Forgive me. I can't imagine what on earth happened, but... Well, there was something in the mattress, I guess. I simply couldn't get comfortable. And this morning I feel... Well, I feel as if I were black and blue all over.
There! Tony, your search is finished.
Why, Your Highness, what is it?
Through 20 mattresses, she felt a lump as tiny as a pea. No one but a woman of royal blood would have as tender a skin or be that sensitive.
At last, we have discovered a real princess.
Father, I knew that last night when I first opened the door.
What's that?
What is this all about?
Oh, Princess Rosalie, I realize you hardly know me, but I'm very much in love with you. Could you... Well, do you think... Will you...
Will I what, Prince Tony?
Will you do me the honor to marry me? Will you be my queen?
Prince Tony, my heart tells me in a moment what the years will surely prove.
Does that mean you will?
Yes, dear Tony, I will.
Well, at last.
A real princess and a truly lovely one she is, too.
Bless you, my children, and may you live happily forever.
Story sure had a swell ending. Gosh, that part about the mattresses. Gosh, I don't know.
Why, Frog Feathers, Tommy, that's simple. You're going to say that you don't think that anyone would feel a bump through 20 mattresses, eh?
Well, I was, Grant. I thought.
Well, now, let's just take an example. Let's just take an example here.
Huh?
Suppose you had a bean and you set it on the table. Then you started putting layer after layer of adhesive plaster over it. Well, you know that there bean is soon be as big as a chicken egg, and then pretty soon, that is, if you had enough plaster, it'd be as big as an ostrich egg, and then if you still had some plaster left, it'd be as big
Wait a minute, Grant. So far, I've listened to you without saying anything, but if you're going to sit there and tell me that there's any kind of an egg bigger than an ostrich egg, then you've got to prove it.
Why, sure there is. What about those big green ones?
What big green ones? Real big green ones?
Well, you know the ones I mean. They're the big green ones you see out in the garden.
Gosh, Gramps, the only things I've ever seen out there are watermelon. Oh, Gramps, you were spoofing us about the last part, I mean. You sure was, Tommy. So I think we ought to make him pay. Gramps, your punishment will be a story. You'll have to tell a story.
Well, today I'm going to tell about a little fig tree that lived in the garden next to a lovely old house in the country. And all around the tree were, of course, other different kinds of trees. And there were little paths which zigzagged between many beautiful flower beds. Birds of all kinds and colors flew about in this lovely garden, and their song seemed to add a note of cheerfulness to what I like to call this garden of contentment. Yes, sir, every creature and growing thing that lived in it was very happy. All that is, except the fig tree.
Oh, Victory wasn't happy? Why not?
Oh, that was because You've got to stand still all the time.
But trees just naturally have to stand still.
Well, I know, but, well, in fact, that's what the other trees told the fig tree, but, well, in other words, the stately elm, he said,
"Be proud to stand straight and tall, my young friend."
And the fragrant orange tree said,
"Never forget, little fig tree, because we trees lived for many, many years. We're man's friend from his boyhood to his old age. We give him freely of our fruit, our restful beauty, all his life through. All other creatures may leave him. We are loyal. He can depend on us."
Well, that's all very well, but I'd like to get around and see some things. I want to have legs so I can walk and walk and walk. And I never get tired because, well, because I'd be having so much fun. Well, sir, the wise but sleepy old Mr. Toad happened to be sitting on the ground near the fig tree, and he heard all this. So he tapped on the fig tree's trunk to get his attention, you know, and he said,
"Oh, fig tree, listen to me. If you're sure you'd like to walk about, really and truly sure, I will grant you your wish."
"You bet I'm sure. Sure I'm sure. I want to walk."
"All right. You asked for it. I'll call on Mr. Wind. He'll lift your roots out of the ground. Mr. Wind, will you please blow as hard as you can?"
I'm out of the ground. I can walk on my roots. So long, everybody. I'm going out to have an adventure." Well, sir, the little fig tree walked along a country road, waving his branches at some of the birds he knew. "Hi, fellas. Look, I'm walking." Well, after he'd walked for some time, he became tired and leaned against a barn to rest. In a twinkling, he was fast asleep, so he didn't notice the little group of people who stood around him talking.
"Never in all the boy they saw nothing like it. A tree walking.
Very strange. Very strange. You know, I think I'll put a call through to the professor of horticulture over to the university."
"Never in all the born day saw nothing like it. A tree walking."
Well, it didn't take long for the news to get around. And before the little fig tree knew what had happened, he found himself at the university, where scientists from all over the country had come to see him. They built a glass house in which they placed him. And he walked all around inside it, trying without success to find a way out. Was there no other trees or no animals to talk to? There were no birds to perch in his branches. Yeah, he was all alone.
"Oh, dear. Poor little fig tree."
Well, one day the scientist took down the side of the glass house, that is, one side of it, so the little fig tree could get out. Then they stood aside as he ambled off down the road in the direction of his old home, the garden. The scientist followed and watched him as they were trying to figure out what made him, a tree, walk like a man. Well, as the fig tree walked along, he noticed the wise but sleepy old Mr. Toad clinging to his bark.
"Gosh, Mr. Toad, it's so fun being able to use my roots for legs. All I could do was walk around in circles in a glass house. I'd sure like to be a tree again. Oh, dear."
"Well, tell you what, when we get to the garden, put your roots in the hole you used to live in. We'll see what we can do."
So when they got to the garden, the fig tree did this, and the toad once more called on the wind.
"Blow, Mr. Wind, blow hard. Blow the little fig tree back into the ground, deep, deep, so his roots will find the moisture that'll make him grow strong."
The wind blew so hard that once again, the fig tree was planted in the ground.
"I don't want to walk anymore, even though I can't move. There's a lot going on all around me. Birds singing and flying and flowers growing and little children playing around my roots. This is my home, and I'm never going to leave it again. Never."
And he never did either. He was happy and proud to be a real, honest-to-goodness tree.
"Oh, that was a wonderful story, Grant.
Jeepers, I'll say it was."
"Well, I'm glad you liked it, and That goes for Nancy Ann McCulkey over there in Japan, too.
Well, gang, it's just about so long time again. Here's a little last-minute memo for you. If you'd like an autographed picture of Grant, Tommy, and me doing a show...
Write a penny postcard or letter to us, telling in 15 words or less why you like to hear Let's Pretend.
And we'll send it over to you by return mail.
And don't forget, the address is Let's Pretend, care of Armed Forces Radio Service...
Los Angeles 38, USA.
And now, until next week, this is Judy speaking for Grant, Tommy, and the whole Let's Pretend gang, and saying so long and good pretending.
Let's Pretend was originally released by CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, for listeners in the United States and rebroadcast overseas for United States servicemen and women. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education. Thank you.